Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Heat up your backyard with a new fire pit. Our fire pit bundle includes everything you need. Concrete landscape blocks, steel ring insert, pea gravel, and adhesive. All bundled together to make your project quick and easy. Visit us today in store or on Menards.com and save big on our full selection of fire pit projects and accessories today. Save big money
at Menards. Welcome to the podcast. If you've got a big willy, say hello.
Hello.
Yeah, go on, Kedge. Kedge. If you got a really big willy, I'm so childish. I'm sorry. I'm 45 years old, Satch. I'm making willy jokes. It's ridiculous.
You can't stop.
What? I can't stop. No, you're right.
I can't stop. I was having this conversation the other day. I was just like, I'm still childish. I'm going to be 35 in a couple of weeks. Yeah. Still childish.
Bro, exactly. I'm going to be 46 in a couple of months. 46. That's proper uncle territory.
That is very uncle territory.
I need to stop doing Toto jokes, man. Still makes me chuckle. Anyway, the reason why we did that and said hello to Kedge, Kedge, you sure you don't want to say anything? Yeah. Okay. Kedge, if you've got four nipples, stay quiet. No, Kedge is not here today. And it was a bit of a last minute one. He's had to go away. He's going away, isn't he, right? He's going on a little trip. And then we just couldn't make the dates work. I've been away over the weekend and I've been in Edinburgh for the Fringe Festival. And Satch, you got COVID still, which we're going to come to in a moment. So it's all been a bit bonkers. And me and Satch just went, we can't not. After the abuse you gave us last time, listeners, right, all around the world. And we did. We got inundated with messages saying, where's the podcast? Where's the podcast? Where's the podcast? So we thought, look, I said, Satch, let's just give the people a two-man podcast. They're getting 66% of the deal. Technically, you could argue they're getting about 90% of it. Yeah, you don't really do that much, old Kedge later. But anyway, he's not here today. So it's just me and Satch. We thought we'd have a little quickie. We'll have a little quickie. Yeah,
and I thought it was quite nice, actually, because I've never done a two-man pod before.
No, and look at that. You get to have your sentence. You get to say it without getting interrupted.
Yes,
it's beautiful. Oh no, that's all he does. 23 hours of the day, he just wakes up. No. You know what it is, Giza. You know what it is. Yeah, listen. Yeah, listen. No. It's.
I think he just says the opposite on purpose sometimes, even though he doesn't even mean it.
Well, I think because he thinks he's being clever. It's good. This is good therapy for us, Satch. We get to talk not that he can't listen to it, but we say it to his face, but hopefully it will go in. Because now he's listening to this, just screwing, just getting angry on the spot, knowing you can't chip in, in your face. No, but look, Kedge isn't here, but of course, it'll be liberating. We thought just try it without it not being a threesome. Just try a normal twosome. Maybe it's quite fitting, Satch, because today is International Burger Day.
Oh, so great. I mean, that kind of makes sense because, you know, burgers are usually meaty.
Yeah.
And this week we've gone veg-free. We've gone meat-free.
We normally get meat.
We've gone veg-free.
Veg-free, because we've got no Kedge the Veg, right? So we've gone veg-free. So actually, you know, like you get meat-free Mondays or Veganuary and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
This is like meatful lamb chop Thursday or chicken curry. It'd be like all the meats you want. Mixed grill Thursday is what it should be, or burger day. All kebab, no pashab. That means Kedge is out. So there you go. That's the hashtag for the day. So look, no Kedge, and so we can talk about burgers. We can talk about anything meat you like. Kedge is generally disgusted by burgers, but
he don't like them. And I don't think we've ever been to a burger joint with him because we wouldn't pick it out of being nice to him. We wouldn't pick it.
We will always go with. And plus, he actually, you know what? You realize this now that we're talking about it. Let's start therapy. You realize he influences a lot. Oh, no, let's just go for a nice like desi carne. Let's go this.
Yeah,
we went through that phase of going to Bill's restaurant. Remember Bill's? Like the name Bill, Buffalo Bill. Went there a couple of times.
Wasn't a fan.
No, anyway. Favorite burger, Satch? Give me your top burger.
Ooh. I mean, I don't eat beef, it's got to be a good chicken burger, but it can't be dry. A dry burger doesn't do it for me. Do you know, like, I think the worst burger I've had was probably at somewhere like, do you know, like a pub, like a Wetherspoons, where they just, it's just some dirty ass, like, breast, and it's just, there's no moisture in it.
No, you're right. When it hasn't got the mayo, the mustard, the pickles, the you know, all that right, the bread's too sukkah, the bread's all like crusty and crumbly, doesn't work. I once had a burger, I'll never forget it, actually. It was from some hole in the wall place in Elephant and Castle, London.
Oh.
And the onions were melted. You know, like a fondue pot, the onions were melted into the cheese like that.
Oh.
So then as he puts the little garnishy in, as he scoops it up, he then dollops on like cheesy onions on top of the meat. Bruv, it was special.
Love it.
I know there's people picturing that right now, kind of going, and their mouth would have filled with water, and they were going, I want that now. Just bits of onion in gooey, sort of nacho-y, yellowy, burgery cheese.
I always think there's something about when you just cook the onions a little bit. Like, as much as I love onions raw, they're a little bit cooked, like the ones that you get on hot dogs. Those onions.
Oh.
They're just the best.
They are. They smell great. The smokiness that comes off it. When those onions are being done, when I do a burger at home, I do a pot of, like a little frying pan full of onions with sugar.
Sugar?
Yeah, bruv. That's what caramelizes it. That's what makes it super sweet. So then you get the kind of, you leave it on low and slow. And those sloppy onions are key.
Well, it's not like I can flip and taste anything anyway at the moment because...
What's going on?
I'm still kind of, like, obviously last week you must have heard me and you know, I was struggling. I was struggling to talk. I didn't really talk that much. It was hard. And to be fair, like, you know, I'm thinking, all right, this is, I'm saying it's COVID, but it's not. The tests are saying that it's not COVID. Everything's negative.
So why are you saying that it's COVID? What makes you, Dr. Thumb, so sure?
Because I've had all the symptoms, everything. The nose block, the sore throat, the coughs. I was fevery some nights. Some nights I'm not fevery. Bit of aches and pains, but nothing too crazy. But it's just, every day I'm testing and it's just like, oh, negative. And I'm like, I want it. Now I'm at a point where I'm just like, I just want it to be positive because I know that it's COVID.
Right. So what do you think? Do you think you've got a strand that's unrecognizable or undetectable?
Well, I actually think Tommy is probably, I actually think it might be from you.
Well, oh, where's that coming? Boom. Just like that. Bro, we were getting on so good. This is a fun podcast.
No, because I know it's a fun book, but I'm just saying, look, I know that you went away. You're the only person that I've been in contact with that I know properly that has been away. And I know you've probably been around COVID in Canada.
Yes, I have. I told you. Did I tell you?
Well,
everybody got COVID. Actually. Yeah. Would you say that again?
Your wife told me, actually.
Yeah. She's a grass. She's a COVID grass. She's a snitch. She's a grass. I'll tell you, what a snitch. She's there kind of going, he's positive. No. No, but we, just before we left Canada, a couple of weeks, well, now 10 days ago or so, there was a massive outbreak through the wedding. After the wedding, we were hearing about, the boy side, this four or five people got it there, and we were on the girl side. There's like three or four people in the girl side's main family house. Like the dad's got it, the mum's got it, the mussy's got it. So they're all, it's everywhere. So I'm looking around thinking, man, I'm going to get it. Logan had a bit of a temperature, my youngest. So I was thinking, oh, God, it's going to, me and the missus did a test before we got on a flight, nothing. And then as we got back, she tested positive.
And I saw you a couple of days after, didn't I?
You did. But I've been all right.
You've been all right. But no, to be fair, I don't. I'm only blaming, I'm pulling your leg. I don't even.
You might be right there, bruv. You might be right.
I've been everywhere, like fully in it. You know, wedding season's back. We are fully in the COVID, you know, pool. No one cares. Everyone's breathing in your face, you know, coughing on you and trying to lick your ear when they're talking to you. It's all back to normal. So, you know, I think it might have been you, but I don't think.
Maybe they were requesting that song. I want to lick you from your gun to your. From your gun. Gun.
Okay,
I can't think of a word that rhymes with gun. I want to lick you from your gun to your.
No, don't say it.
I can't think of anything. I'm completely out. Can you believe it? I've run out of creativity.
I think this week I was getting a bit para because, I know you as well. We've stocked up on those COVID tests, the free ones, We've got them. It's a fact. And I bet everyone listening to this podcast has still got them as well. Apart from Kedge, who thought, you know, I'm not going to order them. We've all got them. And, like, I was looking through my stash the other day and I thought, all right, I'll start with, like, the first the version one, which were like the ones with the NHS stamp on the box, you know, like there were different versions of the test.
The blue and white one, yeah.
So I gave that one a whirl, and that was negative. Then I thought maybe the tests are like, you know, maybe they're out of date, or they're not out of date, but I thought maybe they're old and they don't pick this up. So then I opened the other pack. There was like a dark blue pack that came, like version two.
Yeah.
Gave that a whirl. Negative again. Then I went on to the green ones, you know, the most latest ones. Negative. And I'm just like, I don't know what's going on.
Maybe you got monkeypox. Maybe you got a different one. You got the,
maybe. And someone said that to me the other day. And they were like, you get monkeypox. But then the actual, the bits that, you know, the pox don't show up for about 2 weeks or something. 10 days.
Man. Okay. So we'll be watching you doing dot to dot on you. Matt,
maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
So are you still functioning? Are you still out and about? Are you still going places?
I am functioning. Look, I mean, what is the official guidance? And we don't know, because the official person who comes out with all these official guidance things, Kedge, is not here. So we don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. And the way I'm looking at it is like, if I'm not positive on the test, then I haven't got COVID. So I kind of need to get on with my business as it is, right?
Yeah. And not only that, you haven't just done one test, you've done a few. So now you're right. But you're right. Everything's kulladula at the moment. So everyone's mixing with everyone. And I think what's happening now is people like yourself are maybe going, well, I've got these symptoms. I'm coming up negative. Well, I'm going to carry on living my life. I'm going to carry on mixing, which means technically, Satch, you're still spreading it. You're still a super spreader. Right, you're still, whatever it is that you're spreading, you might just be spreading a COVID, it might be another variation.
But then I'm looking at it and I'm like, well, I ain't spreading it to anyone in my house. So
No, you're right.
So usually, version one of COVID was proper potent. We know that. You know where one person in the house got it and then everyone was down with it. It's not happened this time with this. So, you know, even as much as I've kind of got it and, you know, I've been mixing people in my house and stuff like that, they're all fine.
Maybe it's Gujarati friendly, this one. Maybe you've got like a strand. Maybe you've developed a strand, or it's come from your family, which is like, actually, we just can't get people who have a Gujarati makeup. Maybe I've got a Punjab. Maybe my wife got the Punjabi one, and I'm like, actually, by the time it got around to me, it's like, nah, hasn't affected me because
you're not Punjabi.
Yeah, because there's so many variants now. Because there's this. Because I'm not Punjabi. Yeah, because you're a sellout. Where were you? Where is your Jameen? Where is your field? Can you plant anything, though, bro?
I guarantee now, if you get this Gujarati variant, you're going to be down, Tommy.
Yeah, I will be. I'll be down. And if you get the Punjabi one, you'll be down. But you know, we can handle our own one. It's like, you know, your own kryptonite, your own powers. But when I was up in Edinburgh over the weekend. That's where I was last weekend. So
you've been away everywhere, actually, recently. Where have you been?
Can I tell you what Logan said as he walked in through the front door? He walked into our house today. Okay, so what day is it today? It's Tuesday, as always. We record it a couple of days before it comes out, this podcast. Yeah, it's Tuesday the 23rd.
Something like that.
Yeah, right. And he walks in and he went, Dad. I went, yeah. And he's 5 and a half. He goes, oh. I went, what? And he went, I just can't believe we're home. we're home. Like. And he didn't know how to say, oh, it's good to be home. He's like, I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. Are we actually here? Brilliant.
He's been on the road with you all this time.
Yeah, because obviously we went to Canada for like 2 weeks, came back for like 3 days, then went to, Birmingham for a couple of days, then went on to the Fringe Festival, I did, for a couple of days, and then came back from Birmingham, picked them up, hosted the English Curry Awards last night. That was really good in the Midlands, in Birmingham.
What was the food like?
Can I be honest? Fantastic. But that's because these caterers...
Because you're paid to say that?
No. These caterers are elite. They're called elite, right? Oh. And they were good last time and they were good this time. Good. You know what? Okay. What do you judge a good caterer on? When you go, well, what's your... If they get that right, then everything else should be okay.
Well, I think there's a few things. Number one is I think the staff's got to be good.
Yeah, they were. They're friendly.
Friendly, yeah. And kind of ready to handle any situation. They need to be able to be like, jump in, whatever's
and
thrown at you.
And quick to come back. Because when you've got like loads of bowls, you aren't going to go, we've run out of lamb curry. You're not going to have someone sitting there. So you're going to go, be fast with that one. So that people can carry on eating.
I think it's got to be hot food and good quality food.
Yeah.
Like none of this dirty kebab meat in your kebabs and kebabs.
You want it to be nice pieces of meat.
It's got to be nice.
And even nice pieces of veg, nothing maria hoya, nothing like little bits of paneer and all that. So no, you're right. So my thing is, if the chaat is crispy,
it needs to be crispy. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was good, and like I said, everything was fresh, and the fish pakora, The fish,
probably,
that
got to be piping hot.
That's got to be piping hot and crispy. Yeah. And I don't even know how they do it. How can they make, you know, 30, 40 tables worth of fish pakora, get it all out crispy?
Mm.
At the same, it's banging. Anyway, so the fish pakora were great. The chard was great. And actually, yeah, I didn't have mains. I didn't know because I was full up from the start. And also, when you're hosting awards, you don't want to eat too much. You kind of want to stay light and on your toes a little bit. But
I mean, very quickly about the curry awards. Do you, say if I was a guest going to the curry awards?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd want to eat curry.
Right. So when you said, what was the food like? And I'm like, right, the food was good. A few awards ago, they served up roast chicken.
See, that's what I mean.
No, there was uproar. There was uproar.
Oh, really? Like,
oh, what is this? It's the curry awards. How can it not be curry at the curry awards? But I remember going to the kebab awards. Yeah. And at the kebab awards, a fancy affair, by the way, they didn't serve kebabs. I'm like, there should be a giant kebab going round and round in the corner.
Yeah,
and just,
yeah,
just
and wait, a little bit. I think the table centerpiece needs to be a stick going a doner or a chicken sheesh or something. Chicken doner or something.
Yeah, bruv. Even if I wasn't at the kebab awards, I'd want that as a centerpiece. Just as a little
nibble. Forget the flowers.
Yeah. Don't even need to carve it. Just bite bits off of it as it goes around. Just put your face
and
in
the bowl and the bowls underneath, you know, and the little lazy Susie's. It's got to be like a salad, bit of chili sauce, garlic sauce. Come on, mate.
Garlic sauce is the one. Anyway, so yes, curry awards were good. Celebrate loads of curry places. But before that, Edinburgh Fringe Festival, that's what I was going to say. Forget COVID, forget all that. Bruv, there were thousands of people there, all walking the streets, all drinking, all out and about. The bars were packed. I watched the AJ fight. You watched the Anthony Joshua fight?
I didn't. I was actually working on Saturday. But I was driving back and I was listening to it on TalkSport. So it was a bit of a weird experience because boxing, you always watch. You never listen to it.
And
so
you particularly would, yeah.
Yeah, and I was just like, oh, God, I mean, it's got to do, isn't it? And I've just got to listen to it on the radio. But back to Fringe, what's it like? Because that's been going on for years now.
Oh, yeah, wicked. Rammed, loads of comedy, loads of places. But I've got to admit, for me, and I'm not knocking the Fringe Festival at all, because I probably will go back there next year as well for something. But it was a bit of the cringe festival rather than fringe festival, because I tell you, for a few, but that's more personal cringe. So number one, like, look, we're used to playing big rooms. We play like 300-400 people rooms, 600 people rooms. I'm doing, by the way, all throughout September, I'm doing a whole load of stand-up with Desi Central.
I saw. Right?
So literally every weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all throughout September, we are somewhere. Coventry, Hayes, Leicester, Manchester, Cardiff, you know, two or three. And I mean, Harrow as well, by the way. We don't do South London because...
No, you are. You're doing South London. Yeah, you're in Streatham.
Oh, yes, I am actually. I forgot about that.
That's down the road for me.
Right. So we're doing a whole load of day all across. So it's wicked. It's going to be super busy. But those rooms, because of Desi Central and all that, they know how to market it. They sell out really well. But when you go to Fringe, bruv, you're going to do a room to like 8 people.
What?
I did a comedy set to 7 people. No. One of the ones. But that, they said, you've got to do that because that's a skill in itself.
That's capacity.
No, it's not capacity, bruv. The room is empty. It was in
it can only fit 7 people.
No, the room could fit 150 people.
But it was 7 people there.
Because it was 20 past 1 in the afternoon.
Ah, okay, got you. See, that's I'm not part of that scene. I wouldn't have
right. And so that's you're saying exactly what I said. I was like, oh, this ain't really me. I don't, sorry, I'm Tommy Sandu. I don't really do little rooms like this.
No. Look, if I had to go somewhere and DJ to 7 people, I'd still do it because I've done it before.
Same here. So that's what I remember. Akshay Kumar did this, right? When I went to, I was at some kabaddi event and Akshay Kumar was there and the kabaddi event didn't sell very well. They did it at the O2. They're expecting like 15,000 people.
Is this one of your dreams? Dreams?
Bro, this happened about 10 years ago, right? 8 years ago.
Right.
And Akshay Kumar was like the poster boy for it. So he was like hosting the kabaddi stuff. And he came out and there was only like about 300, 400 people there, max, in an arena that can hold at least 5,000 to 7,000 in this area of it. So it looked cully to the cully. It looked like a rehearsal, right? But then obviously they're doing this stuff. And he came out and he said, look, guys, I want everyone who sat in this arena just to all come down here. Let's all get close together. Let's hang out together. Let's make this special. Mm. And he carried on. He performed. He did a couple of songs. He performed. He actually sung and danced. And he gave it his all. And I thought, now that's a professional. Akshay Kumar,
you have
7
to.
People or 7,000, he tore it up.
I like it sometimes when there's less people because you can play with them.
Right. Hello.
Do you know what I mean?
Depends what kind of club it is. Yeah.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah. No, I know
exactly. You can play. You can you can, in a weird sort of way, I look at it sometimes, I'm like, you can actually affect their mood, them 10 people on the dance floor.
Massively. Right. So even with this now, with the 7 people, then they're all in one line at the front of the.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I remember them all. There was 3 girls, all friends together. There was a guy there with his daughter, and there was a guy on his own. Oh, so there's 8 people. And there was another couple, 2 women who were a couple. And I'm like, so, but Fringe, when I say, the reason why I call it the cringe festival for me is because a little bit of that, because you go, oh no, what am I doing? I'm sort of cringing. But actually you realize I really enjoyed it. So it's quite good. But also I cringe at a little bit of the fact that I'm 45. I felt old. Everyone there is in their early 30s, late 20s. They're gigging. They're out on the streets. They're drinking at night. They're partying till 12, 1 o'clock. Yeah. After about 8 o'clock in the evening, bruv, I'm just going, I think I want to go to bed.
That's me. That's exactly me.
But what's happened? When did that happen? I wasn't that guy, bruv. I was fun. I used to go out. I'd be going out. I'd be the last man standing. Now I couldn't wait. I got some badam and stuff from the supermarket. Hear me out. Got into my bed. Put the telly on a Friday night and the Sunday night and just relax, watch telly. I don't know, the AJ night, we were out too late. And even then I'm going, oh my God, why is AJ fighting so late? You didn't see any of that rant that he did at the end?
No, I watched it back. I missed it. I mean, I did see it back and I was like, he got licked so hard that he's just talking gibberish.
I agree. I think he made it all about himself. Everyone's saying this anyway. He made it about himself. But
then he cried the next day.
Oh, why?
Well, it's just he was doing the press conference, didn't he? And he was just really emotional, and that was it.
Yeah, but
man got licked so hard that
anything
can happen.
Right, it must be a roller coaster of emotions.
It must be.
Right, they always say in order to be a boxer, in order to get into a ring, you got to be super focused, super like you're solitary. It's you. You got to think you're the best. You got to think you're the greatest. And I think he really believed it. So when he was like, "Huh, how did I lose? I should have been winning that." So he was, and that's why he said to the other guy, he said to Usyk, he goes, I'm stronger than you. How have I lost that fight? Then he threw the belt on the floor. Then he took over the mic. And the bestie, the cringe, another cringe festival thing, was him saying, him going to the crowd, right, last time this other boxer fought from Ukraine, there was civil unrest. When this boxer fought, there was civil unrest. And now with you, you think there's civil unrest. And he goes, and he paused and he went, I don't really know what's going on in your country, but I know it's not nice.
See, but that's what I mean.
Oh, don't say that.
But that's what I mean. He was just, brother, he just got beaten so badly. He didn't know what he was saying. He couldn't have said anything.
No, you're right. But I will say this, though. Giza looks phenomenal. He's a perfect specimen of a man.
But that's what I think about him. He looks great. It's all visual, but he hasn't really got the substance.
No, you're right. There was that point where he was doing really well in the fight, and I'm not going to talk sports here because I don't really do that. But and I don't really know what I'm talking about. but it was a point where he was doing well. Like I think it was round 7, 8, 9, around that point, and then everyone was saying he should have capitalized on it there, and he didn't. Then he just got outboxed. And at the end of it, Usyk, who's older, was still bouncing around, still lively. So I bet Usyk wouldn't be in bed at the Fringe Festival. At 8, 9 o'clock with his badam.
I mean, the only thing about music that I want to say is I think we should all get his haircut because I thought it was out of this world. I loved it. What was that?
So can I be honest? I was wondering. I thought, can I grow that?
I think you should.
Because it's only that patch there, and there's that little, like, you know, 2 inches by 1 inch patch in the middle of the top of his head. So I think I can grow that bit there. Or I could grow
it. We'll stick it on. Weave it. It's cool, man. We'll go to one of them shops and get you a little piece.
Yeah. Or at the back. Have it there. But you're right. He looked menacing, though, with his handlebar moustache as well.
He did. He looked the part. He looked the part.
Yeah, I thought so.
He was scary.
Yeah. But I think I'd rather look. If I had to be someone's doppelganger, I'd be Anthony Joshua's doppelganger, not Usyk.
Oh, no. I'd want to be Usyk, I think.
Oh, would you?
Yeah.
But actually, you know what? I saw a story about doppelgangers. I think that's why it's on my mind. This week, I saw a story about a man, a researcher, since 1999, has been going around the world. So for 23 years, he's been trying to find people that look like other people, right? Like trying to find your double, your doppelganger. That's what it means. Yeah. It's a German term meaning your double, right? Yeah. And they say everyone's got a doppelganger. Somewhere in the world, you've got someone who looks identical to you. And the theory is you're not supposed to meet that person. You'll never meet that person. But this guy, there was an article on it, went around, looked for people who's doppelgangers, and he found people that were similar, looked similar. You should see these pictures. This story going around online. If you just type it in, Google it, you'll find it. But these people are virtually identical, some more so than others. And
any part of the world.
Yeah, but he's tracked him down. I don't even know how he's done that, but he's tracked him down. But what he's done is, it's almost like he's trying to crack the code of human life. Like, if we are a program, have they accidentally repeated the program to create the masala mix for another Sachin engineer somewhere else in the world, right?
So you're telling me that I could be in, I don't know, Switzerland or something, an exact lookalike. European version.
Well, get this. Just before we get to where they might be, firstly, they look exactly the same. So color-wise, it wouldn't be like a Gora version of you.
Oh, I thought it'd be like a white version.
No. It's not like they got you in different shades, 50 shades of Satch. It's not that. Okay. It's.
Oh, no, that'd be quite nice if there was like loads of different colors of the Satch.
You know what? I often meet that. I meet like, that's a white version of that. That's a brown version of that. He's a color version of that. And I can really see the features, like, okay, so at the awards, on that English Curry Awards, yeah. And I'll say this to anybody who was there, and there's loads of people that said, oh, I'm going to check out your podcast, you know, you're a funny guy. Yeah. And so if you're listening, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about, because at those awards, someone came on stage, and I went, he is a brown Zlatan Ibrahimovic. He had the ponytail, he had the kind of, that sort of shaped jaw, that shaped nose. You know Zlatan's nose, a little bit squashed. So, and I went, bruv, you look like a brown Zlatan. And nobody else was seeing it. And I was like, oh, man, I'm just me here. But anyway, so everyone's got a double. And I mean, an actual double. This guy's tracked him. But this is the amazing thing about it. He's found out that not only do the doubles look alike, they also have the same habits when it comes to coffee, sleep patterns, tobacco intake or alcohol intake, or the kind of work or how creative they are. So he's found that not only do they look alike, there's something else going on where they're actually, it's actually like it's a program. And they just copied and pasted it elsewhere.
Why is this not like a social media platform or something? Find my doppelganger. What something? Doppelganger book.
I'm sure you can upload
yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Well, sorry. That's
Instaganger.
A different Instaganger is a different, yeah. Instaganger banger is honestly, I found myself accidentally on that one. And
you saw Kedge.
And I saw Kedge, and I saw lots of people that look nothing like me from angles. I don't even know if I do look like that from that angle. So, but anyway, I just thought it's interesting. I wonder whether anyone out there's ever kind of met their own.
Where would your doppelganger be then, Tommy?
The closest I got, and I think I sent it to you in one of the messages, was somebody from Dubai that I met last October when I was over there. Actually, a guy called Atul, who I know really well. He's a cameraman, film guy, creative guy. Atul goes, Tommy, check this out. I've just seen your double. And he filmed him in a bar. Bruv, I put it up on my story about a month or two ago. Yeah. And I got probably about 100, 150 messages just saying, that is you. And even I looked at it, my missus looked at it and went, Tommy, that's you. That is your face, your forehead, your nose. The bar's a little bit dimly lit, and you can tell like he's got like chinos and the type of shoes on that I just wouldn't wear. And it's like, so he just looks, if I can be honest, he looks a bit frumpier, dumpier than me, believe it or not, even though I'm a frumpy, dumpy old guy. He looks even a little more so. But
he's like the pound shop, Tommy Sandu.
Bro, facially, I don't know. I don't want to diss the guy. Facially.
You don't even know the guy. What do you mean?
Yeah, this, I know.
It's cool.
But still, I just feel guilty. I don't want to call him the pound shop. But facially, he was me. I just can't explain it. And even I said, so there you go. There's a double out there. And I said to my missus, can you imagine if that guy was there with two or three women and someone just goes snaps in and goes, just seen Tommy Sandu, but you just see it from the shoulders up. And even I'm saying, it looks like me. Brother, it'll be virtually impossible to kind of go, it wasn't me.
I'm thinking about it. I wouldn't even know where I'd go to trap my doppelganger. I wouldn't even know what part of the world.
No, and I don't know how he does it, but I guess he just has a load of images or people sending him images and all that. But you're right. I think yours, where do you think yours would be then? Okay, if yours, are you saying yours wouldn't be in India? Yours wouldn't be in Gujarat? It must be there.
No, it definitely wouldn't be in Gujarat.
Why not?
Well, I don't know.
You're Gujarati. Of course you're a doppelganger. The highest probability is that you're...
there's nothing Gujarati about me. I don't think you'd be in Gujarat. But I'm just looking at it from like a skin tone sort of thing. Yeah, okay, fine. India or that sort of area.
Mexico. You could be Mexican.
It could be Mexican. Yeah, you never know. But I don't think it'd be in Gujarat. I mean, with Kedge, it's pretty predictable. We know where he's going to be.
Yeah.
In a call centre in Amdaman.
Oh, 100%. And it might not even be a male.
Might be, yeah. Wearing fake Machino shirts.
Just a skinny woman in a Machino shirt in Amdaman giving it, you know what? I love UK Garage Bhangra. That's it. No, you're right. So you're right. I reckon yours could be Mexican. Yours could also probably be a bit Spanish, Argentinian. Anything South American, really. Anything South American, easily. With a beard. It's your beard, you see. That's what it is, a beard and a moustache. Look at Nadine's little Mexican face. Listen, but talking to Kej, I feel like we're cheating on him. So we're going to wrap this up. This is a quickie today. Anything you've learned, Satch, you want to share with everyone?
Oh, what have I learned? I've learned quite a few things this week. It was a bit of a hard one into which one to pick. So maybe I'll do one and then I'll do one for Kej. Seeing as he's not here. The thing I learned was they're saying by 2025, 2 years away.
2 years, yeah.
In a few months, it would be 23. So 2 years away. The cost of a pint is going to be just under 14 quid. Like £30.95 or something. 14 quid. And I couldn't believe, I mean, I'm not a drinker. So even if you ask me now, what's the cost of a pint? I don't think I could tell you. I mean, I could guess it, but I wouldn't know.
It's been a while since I've ordered one, but I'm pretty sure they're around about the 4 quid mark.
No way.
Maybe five fifty.
Brother, I think it's about seven.
It depends where you go, I suppose. It depends where you go. Mate,
I remember when a pint was like less than 2 quid years ago.
See, I was never really a pint drinker because, like you, Satch,
I don't drink. Yeah.
When I went to clubs, I was DJing. So you were, if you were there in a club, I'd be there with a group of guys and you do bottles and all that. And I wouldn't really do beer. I'm not a beer guy. Ooh, beer, let's get tanked up on a beer. I've never been like that. So I think, I think Peroni and things like that, like the premium beers are about 5-6 quid.
For bottles? So
a pint. Bottles, I think, are about 3.54 quid, maybe. I don't know. Like I said, it varies.
I'm not sure, but I think I definitely think it's more. And just very quickly on the average pint, the other thing I learned this week was, so, you know, obviously the gas and electricity prices all going up. And they said if the price of beer was going up at the same rate as the energy prices, a pint would cost 25 quid.
Nah, see, that puts in perspective, man. We're getting
mental.
Done. We're
getting mental. Done. Mental.
If only houses ran on beer. That'd be cheaper.
Yeah. And very quickly, the one for Kej, I'm just going to drop this in for Kej. I was going to go with this one, but I thought, let me just save it for next week. But I'm going to say anyway.
You know, the first burger was actually made by a vegetarian person.
Yeah. It wasn't that. It was people who wear all black are more likely to be seen as reliable, serious, and confident. That's a fact.
That's you.
Well, that is me. Yeah. You wear a lot of black as well.
I do wear a lot of black. I think because I just find that it's just neater and easier and it's just a cleaner sort of look.
Kej will just wear yellow.
Yeah. Whereas when I met at this event, I've spoken about this before, Shah Rukh Khan's Slam Tour, when he came on to UK on a Slam Tour.
That was at the O2, wasn't it?
Yep, it was. And he came in on, it was quite a mega concert as it goes because he had...
I was there.
He had Deepika Padukone.
Honey Singh. There's all sorts at it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But it was, Abhishek Bachchan.
Yeah.
They were all part of that Happy New Year film, I think, at the time. Mm-hmm. Anyway, when I was there, I met some numerologist at the press conference. She goes, oh, yeah, I'm the numerologist. I tell the cricket players what numbers to have on their shirt. I look at their names and their stars and how it all aligns and I do all their birth charts. She looked at my hand and she said, you need to wear more blue. That's what I'm saying.
Oh.
She goes, when you wear blue, it'll bring you good luck. I don't really believe in that stuff. But every now and then when I put on blue, I would go, ooh, here we go. Here we go, my guys. Good luck. Nothing happened.
Eiffel 65.
Yeah, exactly. Here we go. Ready? Have some of that? No, yeah. That's still a tune, bruv. Okay. So people who wear black are reliable.
Yes.
What do you say? Reliable, trustworthy?
Reliable, serious, and confident.
Oh, very good. Good. Look, you like that. Look at all you're swaying your head. Like, yeah. Okay. I learned a new phrase. And also I learned that this is probably the most desi story in the world ever to occur to non-desi people. It's the kind of thing that I can imagine that would happen in my family somewhere or another, because this is a story about twins who married twins.
Eh?
Yeah. So there was two brothers, two identical brothers have married two identical sisters.
It's a bit weird, isn't it?
I think it is on many levels. Before we get into that, like, I thought it was weird that my mussy is also my chachi and my mustard is also my chacha, meaning my dad and his brother married my mum and her sister. There's no crossover there. They're not the same family. So it's two brothers from one family marrying two sisters from another family.
I know that though as well. So I know people that have, so two brothers married two sisters.
Your chachi and your chachi is your mussy or mustard and all that, right? So it's a crossover. I think that's, everyone goes, oh, people, when I tell people, they go, oh, hang on a minute. And they go, oh, wow. I mean, look, it's just like two sisters marrying two brothers. But so therefore, if you have a kid.
Identical. That's a bit weird.
This is identical. And now the weird thing here is you've got two identical women married to two identical men. Like, I'm sure they can tell the difference. But basically, what you're saying is to your brother is, I fancy your wife. And what your sister is saying to you is, I fancy your husband, because they look so similar. It's not like they're going to go,
mix and match, mix and match.
Yeah, no, my one, oh, my one's so different to his twin. No, he's not so different.
They're the same.
I'm looking at the picture right now. They look very, very similar. That's it. That's all I can say. Look, there's, all right, I'm going to show it to you, Satch, on the finger. It's crazy. It's just crazy that, where am I going? That way.
Yeah, that looks weird. That looks like the photo's been duplicated. Like, yeah, they've picked up and ripped it.
It's like it's been mirrored, a mirrored photograph. And now this is the bit I learned. Now they've both got kids, and they both had kids around the same time, which is also a little bit freaky. But get this, technically, biologically, scientifically, and this is a fact, right? It turns out quaternary twins is what they're called, right? Which means that their babies are quaternary twins, which means the babies are technically cousins, but they're genetically brothers, or would they be brothers or brother sisters, whatever the gender is. So this is it. So if two identical sisters married two identical brothers and they both had babies at the same time, they would have quaternary twins. That's a new term I learned, and it means that they are cousins and brothers at the same time, which is so desi, because guess what? Yeah. I call my cousins bruv. So everyone's bruv. All right, bruv? Yes,
yeah, bro. No, but that's different. That's because that's just what we say. We ain't going to say, you ain't going to go, oh, what's up, cousin? Like, I mean, people do, but people just say bruv.
What up,
we just say
bruv. Yeah, but not only that, people will introduce people as their cousin.
Yeah, but that's just a desi thing, isn't it? Our family, we got loads of family friends, and I'm like, yes, my cousin. We ain't even related.
Yeah. We were on a call today. We were on like a conference call, and one of the guys, there's three of us on there, right? It's a property thing, but we bought a property, and two of us are related, me and my cousin are related, and the other guy's he's as close as family, in some respects, maybe even more so, because he's in your life out of choice. And we were talking to an architect, and he went, oh yeah, like my cousin, he's not really a cousin, he's a colleague. But because you're talking to someone who's not desi, who just doesn't get used to, you can't just throw in, oh, we're cousins, and you're not. So you feel the need to explain it a little bit more. And he basically ended up calling us cousins. And then I saw him kind of get awkwardly backtrack to take that out, because he's like, we're not really cousins. But you're right, we call everyone cousins. So I thought it was nice. So quaternary twins is what it would be called if two identical brother twins married two identical sisters and they both had a baby. There you go.
Good to know. Learned something new. Good to know.
Are you not going to take a little moment to relish in Man U versus Liverpool? Do you want anything?
Yeah, I mean, look, it was a surprise, because I thought we were going to get smashed. We beat them, but I and you know me, cynical Satch. Yeah. I think the hard game is on Saturday, where we play like an average team again.
Yeah, so it goes back to normal.
These big teams are like, you know, it's cool. We could, you know, anything can happen in these big games. It's always about the week to week. What happens with, you know, the run of the mill game. So it's good that we beat them, and obviously the banter, you know, cussing Liverpool fans, my brother, it's been wicked. But let's see what
Hold
happens.
Because so
I know he's gonna flip in. If we lose, that's it. I can't show my face.
No, that's it. You're right. And hold on, so you, your dad, and your brother all support different teams.
Yeah, my dad's a Chelsea fan.
Chelsea, your Man U, and your brother's
I'm
Liverpool.
Man U fan, yeah.
That's I find that weird. I can't imagine if Milo and Logan didn't support West Ham. And you know me, I'm not that diehard.
Never know. I think Logan might actually grow up and support another team.
He might do, because he's into football. He's into it. And even like now, right? He goes, Dad, these are the tricks. And what did he say to me this morning? So on a little side note, because he goes, Dad, do you know, if you use the outside of your foot, you can keep running with the ball and just dribble the outside. I'm like, oh, thank you. Thank you, Jose Mourinho, you know, 5 years old, getting me now, had to play football. And then he also, what did he say this morning? Half asleep, he woke up and he went, Dad, you know, sometimes, I was like, yeah, he goes, and I could tell he was spaced out, like he's drunk, like
yeah.
he's stoned,
yeah, yeah,
like he's on
yeah,
drugs, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he went, you know, sometimes, Dad, your eyebrows can go into your eyes. And and I went, right, and he goes, and it can hurt, but you have to blink 3 times and it will go. And he turned around and walked off. And I thought, my man's still half asleep.
No. Now, he's still half asleep. I could imagine that being you when you were a kid.
But he's actually got eyebrows mixed up with eyelashes.
Eyelashes, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, but I just, obviously, I'm not going to pick him up. And it was 6:30 in the morning. And I'm like, okay, you're still spaced out. Go back to bed. A split household and football teams. I can't imagine that. But yeah, well done, Man U. And this weekend, it's Bank Holiday weekend. So where are you? Where are you?
Oh, all over the place. Now, to be fair, it's not bad. It's all club night, so it's all right. No weddings this week. No listening to door players playing to English music. I had a lot of backlash from that, by the way. People messaging me saying, oh, how can you say that? We love... I'm just like, leave it out, mate. But, you know, it's not my thing. And you can have an opinion and say, I don't like it. But obviously... No. You can't say that anymore. So
no, you went all out and you said no. They're rubbish. They're messing up the set.
No, I never. It's not my thing. That's all I said. Other people do like it, and I know it. But I haven't got to listen to that this weekend, which is quite nice.
And talking about your thing, this weekend also is the thing. It's Rahat Fateh Ali Khan. He's in town. That's what I found out. Friday night Birmingham, Saturday night Leeds, Sunday night London. I was supposed to be hosting it.
Oh, hello.
It just didn't work out. I've got loads going on this weekend. I've been away loads as well. Timings. All sorts of practical issues, but I know it's going to be a great concert, and I'm still probably going to go along to the London one probably on Sunday night.
Nice. He's good. He's a good performer.
It's great. It's just when they go, ah, and if you can do that and make it sound good.
What? Mate, it's a Rahat concert, not Bee Gees. What are you on about?
I'm doing Nusrat songs now. But yeah,
please, don't ruin it.
We should do a Bee Gees, Kowali, fusion hybrid thing, man. That'd be awesome. Anyway, so if you're going to that, have a great one. Enjoy the bank holiday. It's going to be a heat wave, and then it's all going to get moody in September. So enjoy the last weekend of August, and I'll catch up with you later on in touch next week when when the old traveling superhero Kedge comes back. Yeah.
Yes.
And until then, though, Satch. Nice. You know what? It's been nice.
Yeah, it's been good. It's been good. Yeah.
I have missed him a little bit. It does feel different. It's like, you know, the two person dynamic, but I've enjoyed it. Oh, good. I'm glad you haven't. Yeah, exactly.
That's because I've spoken to him quite a lot today on the phone. So I'm done with him for the day.
I get it.
Because he's leaving and he was like, oh, yeah, by the way, you've got to do this, this and this. I'm like, sorry, mate. I beg your pardon.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm done with him. I'm glad he's not here today. Catch you next week.
You know what? You just like saying things that's going to cause a bit of a backlash next week. So like, yeah, door players, bungle players. Yeah, I'm glad Kedge is in there. You know he's going to come back and bite you on the chitter, but why not? Why not?
Why not?
Oh, this isn't Satch, by the way. This is his doppelganger. That's why. That's what he said. Bro, thanks a lot, man. Okay, until next week. Catch you later.
Laters.